had that Bobby Gump. So Bobby Grubb stayed in a little, y'all seen these little bitty go behind campers, sort of round, you know, not long. And just the first time I ever saw Bobby Grubb's great preacher, I was walking by that trailer and it was moving a little bit. And he walked out. I saw Bobby Grubb's. And he got up and preaching. And he said, you see this belt, this leather belt? You done heard this. He said, you know what this is? It's not a belt. It's a leather fence around a chicken graveyard. It's something to when your belt was as tall as you are. I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be. But I'm getting close. And it don't help none when you put chicken in front of a preacher. And last night, Trent gave me a $25 or $50 card, and some rest of you did too, for Jazz. And so I've been eating up at Andrea's. She's a wonderful cook. And yeah, somebody just says to me, oh, it was Mom, Jacob Mom. So this one of your girls. He said, which one do you think cooks the best? And I'm not going to tell you, he said. They all learn from your mama, they can all cook good. But he did emphasize Andrew. And I've been eating at Andrew's house a lot of the evenings. I'm a little bit ashamed to think that. But she ate at my house for many years. That's the only thing I could say. So I get down to Jack's. I was coming in here about 5 o'clock in a... And I stopped at Fair Center, and there was a couple there over there. I didn't know if they'd ordered or not, and probably about my age, and maybe a little younger. And found out their neighbors lined up around Mount Vernon, and they knew Jimmy Dan, who was my good neighbor, good pastor. But the lady, he was her pastor. We've known with her. She was a hairdresser, and I think that she still is, and she did my mother's hair, the best I can remember. But So I said, no, y'all, they looked at me like, you're now. I said, no, y'all got here before I did. And they went up there and they ordered. Okay. And then when they stepped back, going back to the table, I'm pulling out that card and I'm ordering 2-piece all white mashed potatoes and coleslaw with not a lot of juice and a biscuit. Yeah. They give us some time to give you more juice and a little bit of slaw. I'm going to go to it anywhere. So I'm getting that card ready, and he pushes me aside and sticks his card in. He's sticking his card. I said, oh, no. He said, yeah. I said, okay. So he bought my dinner. Big chicken, two big wings, big breast. I get back out to the table to eat, and they give me green beans instead of coleslaw. And see, I said, I got plenty of time. I talked to the cook. I said, I'm going to make this fresh, and I got plenty of time. I'm watching Fox News, and I got plenty of time to wait on fresh cooked chicken. He said, that ain't good for the cook, and that's always good for food. Sometimes you might wind up marrying the cook. So I'm sitting there, and he brings it out. From in the back, sets it on top. Thank you, there, brother. And I look at that, it's green beans. I can eat green beans, but there's other things to eat. So I just took it back up there to tell them I need the coleslaw. And while I was handing it to the girl, she was handing me another plate. She said, here's your plate. I said, I done got me my plate. The manager come by and said, what's going on? She said, I don't want to know what's going on. This dude, she said, well, you know, that's your plan. And I said, okay, I got two for me. And when you put two plates of chicken in front of a preacher, that's tempting. So I ate all of it I could and brought some with me. Reno Davis had some chicken in Romania. And it was snow so deep up there, and we were staying at this church, and he opened the window. I opened the window in his room there, and I know his window was cracked open a little. And he had chicken sitting out on the windowsill that he had had for I don't know how long, keeping it cold out there. Preachers always need to stay close to chicken. Because this sort of helps them out. I ate so much chicken last night, I'm probably going to preach for 4 hours. Amen? A little bit of an exaggeration. In Zechariah chapter number 8, Lord, help us for just a little while, I pray. Say the law. And the church. The Gentiles mixed up. The promises to the Jews of the church. The promises of the church. Scripture honor interpretation, but there's also applications. So you can see something that's primarily answering, but to the plot. They were deported from their homeland because they didn't listen to Jeremiah, Hosea, some of the other preachers that said, trouble's coming to you because you've been rebellious against God and God's going to judge you. But the king and everybody else refused to hear what the prophets were telling them was coming their way. And it came their way. And there was a remnant that believed God, served God. We wouldn't have this Bible today in a human sense of the word if it had not been for a remnant, a small amount of people that were really saved in the nation of Israel. Do you realize, my friends, that Jesus said, when I come, you know, he said, even, you know, it'll be reduced down to just a small few there be that find it, few there be that find it. Few people are really saved. I check myself all the time. I check myself. I can't check you. I'm too busy checking. Few are going to be saved. Few is going to enter as compared to those that are going to go to hell because of that condition. But there was a remnant, and they were outnumbered. Now they suffered. Here's what's bad. They suffered the same deportation and slavery into the kingdom of Babylon because of the others' unbelief. And ain't it bad when a few people, some people can do something wrong, but it makes everybody suffer. And that's what happened. But he gives him a promise. Oh, a great promise to anticipate, participate, deliver. Verse 18. But the word of the Lord, the host, came unto me saying, he says in, thus saith the Lord of hosts, this is the fast, of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth month, and the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the tenth month. That's four times. Four different months, July, August, October, January. That's 4 months on the calendar of Israel that he's talking about, four fasts. He says, and the seventh and the tenth shall be, that's the future, shall be to the house of Judah. Now, here's something that don't make a lot of sense to me. How can somebody fast and have joy? To the fast, to the house of Judah, joy and gladness. And here's our key word we've been studying off of. And cheerful feast, therefore love the truth and peace. Look at this. You know what's happening? The fast are turning into feast. And there ain't never been a fast with a feast. But he said, then we're going to change these four fasts that have been reality in the children of Israel's lives under this deportation. There's four different months that they had tragedy, and God said, I'm going to turn those fasts into feast, but not now. Oh, I'll tell you what, there's so much peace and joy and gladness that's coming to you that you will not be able to handle it in a human flesh. A flesh, we have to have a new body. We have to have a new body. These are promising things. A fast is a time of agony. It's a time of your body suffering. And I'm stretching it just a little bit because I know that there were some people fasting as they were being told they were going to be deported. In spite of everything that they could do, fast and pray, God made his mind up. They had crossed the line as a nation, and God said, now you're going to suffer for what you've done. And I know the remnant took those preachers serious, those prophets, and they began to fast. Said, God, please, it's too late. It's too late. But the suffering and the trials came in the fourth month. In Jeremiah chapter 52, Jeremiah chapter 52. You may not want to keep up with me, but just listening. Listen. In Jeremiah chapter 52, and then also 2 Kings chapter 25. Let's read Jeremiah first. Listen to me. Jeremiah 52, verse 6. In the fourth month, remember, the fourth fast, the fourth month. And in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the famine was so sore in the city, so that there was no bread for the people. In 2 Kings 25, and in verse number 3, and on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. They didn't have anything to eat. They were surrounded by Nebuchadnezzar's army. None went in. None came out. And they were starving to death. I want you to understand there's an application in this primary interpretation to Israel. My friends, there's times in your life where you go through a spiritual famine. You wait on God. You look for God. You want to feel God. You want to touch Him. But my friends, there's nothing there. And you're in a famine spiritually. You go through those times. I go through those times. But just because you're in a famine, friends, spiritually, don't mean that God ain't going to take care of you. I'm not talking about physical bread, but I want you to know it's spiritual and physical. There ain't been a time that I can ever remember that Roger Butler ever missed a meal. I'm way ahead. Never like last night. You know how many times that's happened to me? God's going to feed His creatures. I mean, He's took care of me. And my wife and my family, this church has took care of us. But I want you to understand, in spite of all the provisions that God has given us physically, there's been times when Roger Butler has had a spiritual family. Hello? Where's God? My friends, they that wait upon the Lord, slow down. Wait upon the Lord. I went through something last week. It ain't all personal, but maybe you can share. Maybe you can understand what I'm saying. I had to really dig deep for some water from God. Deep to get this feeding going. And I'm not me getting it going. I just want to be doing what God wants me to do. To see a wonderful time for you and these preachers and maybe somebody saved and get right with God. And a spiritual thing. You've been there. You know God at any time at all. You search for God. Where's God? Did you understand that Charles Spurgeon, I got his books. I got some books for about 10 cents a piece. Hardback books on his life that he wrote personally. I got them in Romania, the Romanian bookstore. They just wanted to get rid of them. I got them. His own testimony, his own words. He said, I spent most of my life depressed. Most of my life depression. You know what, friends? I've talked to other preachers that's related to that, and I've related it to myself. But I know there's a better day coming. Well, there'll never be another spiritual family in our lives. But it's not here yet. He ain't going to let you die. He ain't going to let you give up. You'll just keep searching after God. You'll just keep your feet. Jesus said, I'm the bread. I'm the bread of life. In the fifth month, I got to move quickly. We're back in. You can hold your places here. You can hold your places. When Jeremiah chapter number 52. And this is the same time. This is the same chronological time that all of this is happening. When he says the fourth month, the fifth month, the tenth month, or the seventh month and the tenth month, a fast will turn into a feast. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're in a spiritual famine, I want you to understand that you're quite okay and not seek the world to meet your need. That God will show up and He'll restore your soul. David said, Psalms, restore my soul. You know what? Restore. That means to set, you know, that you're sitting here by set still. We're sitting still, but there's something inside of us that's just sometimes in turmoil and nobody knows nothing about it. It's just pushing back and forth and turning flips and laying down. And sometimes you don't even, you know, think your life's worth living. And that's your soul. And God said today, David said to God, thou restorest my soul. That means you get your soul settled down. And when you do that, your body's going to cooperate. You'll get sick. You'll get worried. You'll do stupid things unless God restores your soul. and gets it settled down. You ever heard any time till he gets, now settle down, son. What God's saying to you, let me help you. Now, in Jeremiah 52, verse number 12, the fifth month and the tenth day of the month, there it is, number five. There's the fifth, there's the fourth month, but now the fifth month, the fifth feast, fast. Now in the fifth month and the tenth day of the month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuchadnezzar, captain of the guard, which served the king of Babylon, Jerusalem. And he burned the house of the Lord and the king's house and the houses of Jerusalem and all the houses of great men burned he with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans that were with the captain of the guard break down all the walls of Jerusalem round about. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, carried away captive certain of the poor of the people and the residue of the people that remained in the city, those that fell away and fell to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the multitude. Now, turn your Bible, or if you want to listen to me, however you want to do it, in Jeremiah 51 and verse 46. I'm going to keep bending these glasses till they break. I do that every time. Jeremiah 51, verse 46. Here, let's back up a little bit. Verse 45, my people, go you out of the midst of her and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. Unless your heart faint and you fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land. A rumor shall both come one year, and after that, in another year, there shall come a rumor, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Have you ever seen that verse in your whole life? You know what these people had on their minds? From the time that Jeremiah and Hosea and some of the other prophets said judgment's coming, and then up until the time that they saw the house of God burned down and Jerusalem destroyed and the king's house destroyed and other people's houses destroyed, and they started herding them up like cows to take them out of their homeland. You know what was possessing them? Fear. Not only famines, but people were afraid. I'm going to tell you what, God is our strong tower. He's our mighty shield. He said, be not afraid. He said, God hath not given you the spirit of fear. And in spite of all of that, not only do we have times of famine, but we have times of fear. We hear this is going to happen and that's going to happen. I'm fear. You know what? I ain't looking forward to. Like Uncle Dennis said, I'm going to preach my own funeral. He wanted to do that. I wished he had them because I had to do it. Me and Keith. I'm not looking forward to burying some of our church members. I'm not looking forward to that at all. I'd much rather be sitting down instead of standing up in a lot of funerals I go to. But I fear for losing our precious people. They're going to die sometime. We don't know when. I fear. I fear a lot of times when I shouldn't. I fear, how am I going to make it? I remember sitting out on my porch, and it was raining, and the wind was blowing. I was sitting there on the banister, and there was fog everywhere during the daytime. Kathy didn't know nothing about kids, didn't know nothing about this. I said, how in the world am I going to make it? How? I remember going down behind my house, down there in front of the barn between two vehicles, tractor and a vehicle or something, and got on my knees. I said, Lord, I don't know. I don't know if we can make it. But I made it. I'm blessed beyond measure. Your preacher's been afraid. Afraid of things. I'm tempted to be afraid of man. My granddaddy won't let me do that, neither will God, but there's times when I've been afraid of man. My granddaddy said, Roger, he told me, beware of science falsely so-called, and you better be aware of that, and careful with modern science. But he said also on his deathbed to me, he pointed his finger in my face, and he said, Roger, fear not man. And my granddaddy and my daddy did not fear men. I saw my daddy stand up to men where I thought my daddy was going to be killed. For his own right, he had his own right to stand up to men, a crippled man. Fear not man, which is able to destroy body, but rather fear God, which is able to both destroy body and soul in hell. I've been tempted to fear man, but then I can't, because God said, don't fear me. There's been men that's caused me a lot of grief. There's been church members through the years that's caused me a lot of grief. But I'm going to tell you what, I'd rather fear God any day. Is any man in this church, or any man that's ever been, or any man that's anywhere? If the preacher fears, what about you? You ever fear? I'm going to tell you what, if your mind is set on serving God, you're going to be challenged to fear. You're going to be challenged. You say, I'm a man, I don't fear nothing. You're lying. That's what you're doing. You thank him. Fear. So there's the fifth month. I started to do the seventh month last and the tenth month. It's the way I wrote it down. I started to save the seventh month to last, but I believe I'm going to do the seventh month third. Jeremiah chapter 41. Now, this is a hard thing for me to explain. I have studied this inside and out, and it's a hard scripture to try to dissect and explain, but I'm going to do my best to do it. After Babylon invaded Israel, and there were still some people there, Nebuchadnezzar allowed the farmers to stay around and harvest, and some of the poor people that he didn't think was any good for nothing, he left them there. And he sent a man to be their governor. And now let me get what his name is. I'll get it here in just a second. Chapter 41. His name is Gedaliah. He sent Gedaliah there to be the governor. And here's basically what he said. You can read this at home. He said to those people that were literally captive, but they were children, he said, if you'll just obey and come to grips that you're in captivity, we're going to let you live your life to you. But you've got to realize that we're in control. And there's another old boy that got jealous. He didn't want Gedaliah to be there, and his name was Ishmael. And he gathered up some other people that lived in other countries around about and stirred up some trouble. And he brought them in, and he killed Gedaliah and several other Jews that were faithful. He killed them. Now, I am using this word not only in this month. Here it is. Here, let me see. Jeremiah 52. No. Jeremiah 41. 1 through 3. Now, it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nephthali, the son of Elishama, of the seed royal, he had good bloodline, and the princes of the king, even 10 men with him, came unto Gedaliah, the son of Achim, to Mizpah, and there they did eat bread together. They were tricking them in Mizpah. Then arose Ishmael, the son of Nephthali, the son of 10 men that were with him, and smote Gedaliah, because they were eating at Gedaliah's table. He was entertaining them. The son of Shaphan, with a sword, and slew him whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. Ishmael also slew all the Jews that were with him, even with Gedaliah and Mizpah and the Chaldeans that were found there and the men of war. He wanted to take over. And I'm not sure if he's a Jew or Gentile. I ain't figured that out yet. Maybe you can figure it out. But all I know is one thing for sure, that he was influenced and rallied with foreigners. There you go. 7th month. Where that 5th month, or 4th month, family. 5th month, fear. 3rd month, foreigners. You understand that there's a mayor in New York City right now that's a Muslim? Do you understand, my friends, he was voted in by Jews? There is no way in the world that he would be the mayor of New York City, that's got one of the greatest populations of Jews in our nation, and they voted him. So I bet they were devout Jews, like you saw lifting over New York. It's going to turn it. Your opinions are gold. We've got his right mind now. John Hannity's moved to Florida, hadn't he? I think of it. Wow. I'm glad they're not coming to you. You don't need nobody else. You got enough room. If you do what I'm saying, you understand that our country's been invaded by foreigners. That's one thing to come through Ellis Island. It's one thing to come legally. We got Hispanic people over there that are legal. We got men that once they got saved over here, they went back to Mexico within jeopardy to never have to come back, be able to come back. They went to get their family. When they got legal, they went and got them legal and came back. That's the way to do it. But how many foreigners do we need in the United States? Our workforce. Foreigners are our labor force right now. We're in trouble with that. I'd say we have our whole, I know you can debate the other side. I wish somebody's here that didn't believe like we do. Is anybody here? Because I don't want to just preach to the choir, but I want to say you're completely crazy if you think you go to your house and this woman, whatever her name is in California, that says, oh, it's not illegal. You can't be trespassing on stolen property. What's her name? You know her name? You can't be. And she's in a big mansion with a big wall, a big gate. And now those Indians are saying they want her property because she stole it from them. I'd say she needs to give it to them. Wouldn't you? You knew that already. Here's the thing. Foreign. You know what a foreigner is in a church? An unsaved churchman. Not a visitor, not somebody that's coming in here and wants to be welcome, but an unsaved church member. He's a foreigner. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And they'll cause problems. You're looking at a man that's preached since I was 14 years old, and I want you to understand something. I've seen them come. I've seen them cause troubles. Foreigners in the church. Oh, Lord. It's our responsibility. Keep the member. It's my responsibility that I may present him to him. You know, like Paul said to the pastor, I got to present you to God one day. Regard this place. I've seen men and women come in here and take our young people out of here. I've seen foreigners, as far as I'm concerned, and tell you story after story. Foreigners. Foreigners. What's bad is when foreigners invade your family. Oh, God, help us. Oh, help us, Lord. God said this. He said this in the Old Testament. He said, listen, don't let your sons marry women of the world, and don't let your daughters marry men of the world. It's not saved. Unholy alliance. Unequally yoked. It don't work out. What I hate to see is some guy's lived his life running wild. He decides he wants to get married. He comes to the church to try to find him a wife. I say, let him go out there and find him some whore to marry somewhere. And it works both ways. And every girl sitting in Sunday school with a dress on don't mean she's a pure girl then. God help us. Foreigners. You can't allow foreign things, foreign entertainment in your heart. You can't do that. You'll be destroyed. There's the 7th month. 10th month. Jeremiah. Get my scriptures right. Jeremiah 52. Staying in Jeremiah right now. 52. I'm going to finish this if that's okay. If you got to go, you can go, but I can't put this off till after the revival. Jeremiah chapter 52. Verse 4, and it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign. That's Zedekiah. You know what they done to Zedekiah, King Zedekiah? You know what Babylon soldiers did to him at the king's commandment? He was the king of Israel, and they put his eyes out. But before they put his eyes out, they killed his sons right in front of him. And then they blinded him and walked him to Babylon, the king. Now, look at this. And it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, there it is, 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came he and all his army against Jerusalem and pitched against it and built forts round about it. So the cities were seized under the 11th year of the king Zedekiah. And in the 4th month, in the 9th day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, so that there was no bread for the people of the land. We done read that. Then the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled and went forth out of the city by night, by way, the gate between the two walls, and was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were by the city round about, and they went by the way of the plain. Hey, Robert, the Marines ran. All the men doing. Yeah. Then I can't help if I find nation, so it's medicine. But what's going to happen? Somebody votes it in if they come to their adult. Maybe. How many of our men see this? How many of our sons would know? Hey, son. But when you explain, you can do the kingdom. In the time of hell, when you need, and you look around and make things. My father-in-law, we said in meeting, the great meeting, there's another cell here against the wall. Anybody else went out? I don't know from you. Yeah. I don't know if you remember that. It was young friendship, for instance. Too many foreigners in my first. Oh, dear. John, it ain't all fun and games serving God. I'm going to tell you something. It's never convenient. That's the time you're going to read your Bible. The devil's going to show you something else you need. And it goes on and on and on and on. Brother Brown, I had to go through that meeting 23 years old. He went to me, AGC. He set out for the meeting. He set out in all the forest. Got a signal, right? And we'll follow the Lord with them. And forsaken. I'm just, some of these memories I need to keep, but we sat in a meeting. My father-in-law did, and I, we had a man we thought we could trust. I mean, he had the goods. We had that meeting. You know what? Folks, y'all care from before. You thought, I'm find out later there's some things involved, but he couldn't say nothing to the give him in trouble and out. Have you ever had anybody who came in arms? And you know that all of anybody in the world I know I could depend on you. First, in your father and your mother and Psalms, I think chapter 4 and 5. The safety of it all, thank you. Let's stop. All of it's your faith. You can live in the Word of God, right there. All of it's up. Now, what does he say is happening? Back in our text. Oh, my. Here's what he said. Verse 19, chapter 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, famine, the fast of the fifth month, fear, fast of the seventh month, foreigners, the fast of the tenth month, forsaken, shall be to the house of Judah. Joy and gladness. Shall be, not now. Heaven's waiting. We're going to get there. We're going there. It's not if anyone makes it. Surely I will. I've been working and praying. If anybody makes it, surely. That's a bunch of junk. That's not even in the Bible. That's working for your salvation. Shall be to the house in the future joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore love the truth. And peace. Cheerful feast. You ever been to a sad feast? Oh, it's cheerful. See, it turned the fast into the feast. It's a reversal. God's good at reversing the bad to make it good. Jeremiah 30. I want you to look at this. Jeremiah chapter 30. Listen. Verse 18, Jeremiah 30. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will, that's future, bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be rebuilded, that happened, upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. That's a whole message. If there's ever a time when a believer needs to have the voice of making merry, it's now. What have you got to be merry about and rejoice about? They were rejoicing about the devils that were subject to them, the disciples. And Jesus said, don't rejoice about this. Rejoice because your name is written down. And I want you to understand, a lot of people's got eternal life, and they ain't even happy. Their sins are forgiven, they're not even happy. That means we need revival, don't we? It's so quiet in here. I hear them little buzz and sounds that are not really there. And I will multiply them, they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, they shall not be small. Listen, look at this verse. Their children also shall be. You, if you miss this whole message, look at this. Their children also shall be as aforetime. I'm speaking to anybody that's got a child that's astray. Their children shall be as it like it used to be. Their children shall be as it used to be as aforetime. That's a promise right there. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregations shall have come. Means the church got right, and I will punch them in the press. Their nobles shall be of themselves the governor. But see, and I won't read any more right there. Close. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 8. It's about done. There's another verse that really doesn't get it. Don't get sleepy. Don't go to sleep. Don't get hungry. So much chicken last night. I told you, man, eat two chickens. Jeremiah 30. There it is. I believe you. The children should be us four times. Okay, let's tell you, flip the scriptures. It's in Zechariah chapter 8. I got it. Not out here. Zechariah chapter 8. Hey, don't get mad at me. There's just 5,000 verses I've been looking for in this message. Zechariah chapter 8. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts, verse 1, can be saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous, Zion, with great jealousy. For I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returning to Zion, dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet, oh men, oh women. What about it? Oh men and oh women in the streets. You know what I'm going to call it? What? Old men, old women, out in the streets, out in the Hope God would kill me, and I'll tell you why I sure wouldn't come home with a bunch of beads bragging about it. Look. Old men, old women too. So dwell in the streets of truth, and every man with his staff and his hands are bare. Your time's coming, man. You young whippersnapper. You may be one of those walking around on a walker trying to shout when you could have got some good shouting in when you had strength to do it. Amen. Look at this, verse 5. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the no more fear. I rode my bicycle all over again. They said, you don't talk to us that one time. We'll teach you a children playing in the streets. Hey, they weren't doing this. They was playing in the streets. There ain't going to be none of these or none of your kind. You got in smartphones. Only telephones. They're taking away your life. I'm going to tell you what else they're doing. They're taking away your attention span because you're trying to listen and comprehend two or three things or four things at one time. And you, if you're fool enough to do it, go crazy. I can't help you. Playing games, adults. God, heavens. Children in the streets. Ain't that wonderful? Are you looking forward to that day? In that millennial kingdom, the Bible says that the kids will play around snakes and it won't even hurt. They'll eat a lion back by his ear. So they'll be playing with a lion like it's a kitty cat. You know what's happening over in Ukraine right now? It's sub-zero weather. The creeks and lakes and rivers are froze. And you know what they've started doing? The quote I heard with the Russians are trying to beat us down and take our lands, I will not allow. Whatever you think about that, I believe you're lying. You ain't coming from me. Well, if you're lying, you have covered banks on the hills, and in front of you. And I heard a report of Timothy and the the Lord said, Paul said, rejoice again, I'll say rejoice. And everything give thanks for. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. They're dancing and having a party in sub-zero weather. Tonight, they're going to be, some of these people, you check me before, but the Super Bowl tickets, I think some of them sold for $40,000. Now, you can check me on that. More money I ever heard. You check that out. You check it out. The most expensive one was several thousand dollars. And it's in zero weather, ain't it? Ain't it out there in Oregon? Where's it going to be? Where? Well, it ain't going to be zero weather there. Yeah, it feels like it. I wish I had some tickets to sell. I'd jack it up to $100,000. All right, here's the last thing. L-U-F-T-I-N is the way I wrote it. Anybody speak German in here? Lufthansa. I mean, that's the way we say it in English, I believe. That's the way I wrote it down. It may not be Lufthansa, and it's called S-T-O-N. L. S-T-O-N. Stoff. Stoff Lufthansa. I found out what that means. Do you know what they do? They've been doing it for years and years. I like them houses. I wouldn't want to live in one. I wouldn't mind spending the night. If them houses just made right up against one another in those tanks. They got second stories. And you'll see them take them. Well, their grandma made it. We just have to go to this. Mom and me, when you got any brother, please. Yes, that's good love thing. So love. Yeah, that's so good. Even if it's probably in the middle of Somebody may need to respond to this message. I don't know. Here's what I'm asking you. Are you living in famine with God? Do you need a new visit from God? Are you living in fear? When there's no reason to be afraid, but we fear anyway? Are you been forsaken? As foreigners invaded you? Whatever your need is, maybe you need to be saved. I hope you will be if you're not. You died for us, Lord. You gave your life. You bled, suffered, and died for us where we could not have to suffer and die and be in hell. I pray if anybody's unsaved, wherever, they'll be saved. Trust you today. I pray for our church. Lord, I pray that you'll meet with us. Help us. Help us to open the windows of our soul and let you refresh our lives. Revive us in Jesus' name. You may need to come and pray. Amen. Amen. Whatever you need, you come on right now. Come on. Don't delay. You come on right now. And it goes like this. Well, in the cross be my glory. My rapture soul rests beyond the rift. Chorus. Near the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Heads bowed for a moment. Say, preacher, in one of these, if not more than one of these, fast. I wish you'd pray and help me pray that God will turn this fast, terrible time into a feast. Pray for me, preacher. Is there one? God bless you. Is there one? God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Let's sing it together now. Well, in the cross be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Thank you again, Lord. I pray that you'll have great effect in our lives. Lord, send revival. Bless as we anticipate your goodness to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me say this. Samuel, if you'll step back with those papers I gave you. Now, if you want to take one of these, if you want to take one of these as you leave the building and put it in a place of business, that's what I'm asking you to do. And also the men, if you possibly can, stay with us. Go visiting with us after church. He's got what he needs back there. He's got what he needs. Okay, God bless every one of you. Good afternoon. You're dismissed.